live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
We're back for another fantastic week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name is Ara.
And...
My name is Rich.
So I've been spending the last 5 minutes trying to come up with a new name. I don't know if our listeners have heard, but Google created this like 3D chat environment, kind of like Second Life. I haven't actually had a chance to play it.
So what is like virtual sex chat?
Pretty much. So I'm trying to come up with a cool ID to steal from some famous person so one day they'll come to me and say, hey, I want my lively ID, right? So I'm all, who was I looking for? Like Stephen Colbert?
Rain.
It has to be six characters. So like, Kylie Minogue, for God's sakes. Kylie Minogue is taken. I can't find anything.
Guess who else is taken?
Who? Ara Shemanian?
Yeah.
That's taken. I'm not even on there, so I don't know what crazy person is impersonating me.
Ara signed up earlier today, or Pen15 did it.
You know, here's the problem. Yeah, now I have to take my own name before someone else on the listening takes it. So, Alon Weissman. There! And you can't change it once you've picked it. So you have to create a new Google account anytime you want to try a new name.
Well, that takes about 12 seconds to do.
Yeah. Well, I've already got like 8.
Yeah. You know?
Was Cliff Bleszinski taken?
Cliffy B was definitely taken.
Was his like full last name spelled out?
Taken? I'm wondering if this lively.com thing, this Google chat room, will have any sort of... Oh, wow, I got to turn that off. Any sort of relevance to our gaming discussions. But it's certainly very
not.
Much... It's like PlayStation Home, right? Which is why I want to give it a try, see if it has a lot of similarities.
I hope it's less
except with
worthless.
Sexual overtones.
Yeah.
No, they just had one of the worlds you could go into is called Sex Island. I think users can create their own. I don't...
Guess
I haven't
what
really
I'm
figured
doing
this stuff out
tonight.
Is there like Abstinence Island?
I just... I don't expect that Google would have made their own place called Sex Island, so someone else
they're
must have made
They're taking over
for
the
them.
Internet.
Well, someone in their room, they're showing a YouTube video of, like, the Cartoon Network, some show from there. So
Cartoon Network's making an MMO?
I want to talk about some games here, guys.
Yeah, wow, that's cool. You can totally walk around and look at rooms that people made.
Penn suggests to take Ryu Hayabusa.
Well, it's too late. I chose my own name because I knew Penn would just take it if
I
didn't.
Penn, you can check that out.
This is just like PlayStation Home. I'm watching a video.
How about Mario?
Okay. How many weeks have I been waiting to talk about Grid here?
I would say approximately
two.
Half of a week.
Approximately 8 weeks.
Two.
Even though it just came out a few weeks ago.
Two.
Okay, so you've wanted to talk
about
this.
So this game is awesome?
Before the end of the show, I have to read you an email that I got from an absolutely moronic listener of ours.
We love getting moronic emails.
We prefer
smart emails.
Yeah.
But we'll take moronic ones. But
I'll save that till later.
I have to say that my experience with Grid has been rather enlightening.
Okay.
And
I believe you.
The first thing I want to say is that are you done shuffling?
I had to
your
switch
desk
headphones
because
like it
Rich?
Wasn't.
Well,
thank
listen, you.
The sound all right. wasn't working. All right.
Give me
Let's
a break.
Be quiet. All right. Answer all right. me this though. This review that you're about to give, or that I don't know about review, but
it's not a review. It's just impressions. It's
impressions?
Sheer, unadulterated, totally biased. Impression.
Are we getting something we don't normally get?
Because yes, you will get something that you've never gotten before in your life.
As opposed to unbiased impressions?
Because usually you give sort of an off-the-cuff, I just played this, here's my initial impression, and now are we getting something that's more of a refined, I've had a chance to actually play it, and here's what I think. Like, you would have gotten something else had you heard me rant 8 weeks ago.
Yes. I will take you on a journey now, friend. Friends.
This is Ara telling us his experience of the game after... 10 minutes of the game.
Okay, I actually did play more than 10 minutes.
Yes,
I played perhaps even several hours. Okay, and
11 minutes.
One thing I realized is that I put in the game, right? I start playing, and my initial impression is this is even after the demo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is wow, this could be the greatest racing game
amazing
ever made. Okay.
Ever.
And then reality set in. And
you really liked
here's
it when
why.
We played it, man.
Yes, I really, really liked it. And I noticed something. I noticed that the more I played it, the less I liked it.
Is that true of all racing games that you play?
Well, I wouldn't even really just restrict it to racing games. One thing that I noticed was that, you know, really, it wasn't just because I was playing it more and more. It was just because the deeper that I got into it and the more details that I looked at, the more flaws I noticed. And that made me think about how people review games in general, right?
Which is immediately after playing them and commonly after only playing a small portion of it.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, today's games are such complex products that if you just kind of take a cursory look at it, a lot of times, like, you're like, wow, especially, like, you know, the so-called, like, whatever, AAA games. We haven't gotten to quadruple quite yet, I guess. But they're just, there's so much about them on the surface that is really, really impressive that if you just take the cursory look and you don't bother to delve deeper, or if you don't care about some of the details, then you're just left with this, like, wow, that was really awesome impression, right? And so I think that this accounts for a lot of hype that happens with all these games, that these blockbuster games that are getting hyped all the time. I mean, not everything, obviously, right? But somebody who doesn't have, like, the critical faculties, or somebody who doesn't care so much about the details of how a game works, is not going to notice these kinds of flaws and these kinds of problems, which the games are so complicated that they will inevitably come up the closer you look, right? And so I think that, I don't know, I think I'm coming up with a theory, I guess, off the cuff right now, that
the
a lot
Sharinian
of people,
curve?
Perhaps, that the way that people look at a game, right, the kind of, like, the way they evaluate a game is, I mean, it sounds obvious, right? It affects what they say and how, what their impression is about it, right?
I'm going to need you to run that by me again.
Yeah.
What?
No, I was basically just saying a tautology at that point, right? But here's the thing, right? I mean, if you just, like, care about graphics and you just like the fast action and stuff like that, and you don't care about details, then you're just like, oh, wow, this looks really impressive. And then you never just get into the depth of it, and you never find out the flaws, and so you never mention them. And so to you, the flaws aren't really even there. You know, this is kind of like, you know, my friend that I used to get into arguments about a lot with movies, where I was highly critical of movies a lot of times, and he was like, he would just, like, pretty much love every movie that he ever saw, right?
He probably wouldn't love the Tracy fragments.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Every single movie I saw with this guy, right? I was like, okay, like, this was so bad that clearly even he will find fault with this. But no, he was just so happy just to be in the movie, like, experience in general, that it was just, whether it was the lack of, you know, I don't think it was his lack of critical faculties. He just didn't care about those things, right? It's just like, oh, this is cool. I'm just going to enjoy it at face value. And so I never have anything critical to say about it.
Did he not get out of the house much?
Well, I mean, you know, he got out of the house enough, really.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's get into some specifics. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes, please, because
this
I would like to hear
them. This is exciting.
So here's the first thing, okay? So why did I think that this was, like, possibly one of the greatest racing games ever made? Okay, this game does things that no other racing game ever does in a really, really cool way.
This is like sound effects. Dun, dun, dun.
So
greatest
just,
game ever.
Not just the actual. Okay, we have 1 minute apparently to squeeze all this in, which will obviously not happen.
Ready to go.
So the one thing that's really cool is that there's actual radio chatter while you're driving in a race, right? So, I mean, when real race cars drivers race, they have a radio on their ear, right? And their team tells them stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you get told stuff, right? And so
the same stuff over and over
no,
again.
No, but, well, see, here's the thing. They don't take it as far as they could, but they take it farther than it's normally been taken, right? So, like, someone spins out, right? Like, that doesn't happen in a lot of racing games. Someone spins out, and the guy's like, oh, someone spun out. I think it's Joe whatever over there. And, you know, that's really cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we going to hear about more good stuff?
More good stuff and
more
bad
good
stuff.
And then later at the end of the show, we'll hear the bad stuff.
Okay.
If you must make me wait.
Okay. We'll be back with only the good stuff here on Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Well, Welcome back, gentlemen, and maybe even ladies. It's Chatterbox, video game radio. So we were talking about Grid. I'm just going to forego.
I thought you were talking about Grid.
Forego. Yes, and you were listening.
Actually, rather, yeah.
Intently, I might add.
I was conversing with the chatters on the IRC.
Okay, fantastic. So we promised that we would hear some good stuff about Grid. We heard one good thing.
Yes, okay, that was two.
The radio chatter.
Yeah, okay, so the other thing, this is like a double good thing in two in one, right? Because cars actually spin out, okay? This is fantastic. Like, how long have we been waiting? How many years for the computer cars to actually make mistakes?
I have not been anticipating this at all.
Anybody who cares about racing
games.
That
happens in a lot of games. What are you talking about?
That is not in a lot of games.
Okay.
They actually, yes, they try to take a turn and they spin out.
Okay.
Okay?
Ooh.
Doesn't happen.
I'll be playing that tonight.
It's really, really cool.
That's a spin-out sound.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Okay? So they spin out. You actually get told who spins out or who the guy thinks spun out anyway. And so yeah. That's really cool. Another thing that's really sweet is that you can actually hire a teammate, right? So you start off by yourself, but then you get a team. And then you get, like, you can hire a guy to drive on your team, right? And the cool thing is this guy talks to you, right? So depending on, you can pick like an Italian guy.
Can you do the shake and bake?
Or like a German guy. It's kind of like shake and bake because you get the German guy. He's like a little ornery and he's got like, you know, a little bit of like the Schumacher attitude. So like, you know, you go up to him, right? Like let's say you're racing, right? And like, I don't know, maybe like you're at first and then all of a sudden he's behind you. He's like, no surprise, I caught up to you. And, like, you know, that's really cool. He's, like, talking. He's got a little bit of an attitude. And so, like, you don't like him, so you fire him. And then you can hire someone else, maybe an American. And then the American, like, talks too much, and that's annoying, too. So maybe you fire that guy. And anyway, it's really cool because if they win the race, then you get more money, right? And you can kind of, like...
That is a unique feature.
He's on your team, right? Okay. So it makes sense, right?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But that's really cool. That kind of like whole dynamic thing, they all have different attributes, right? Like some are more consistent than others. Some have a different specialty in different types of races. So this is really, really, really cool stuff.
That you race in teams?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can fire them. And they talk to you.
So you can hire and fire people. Amazing.
Okay, keep it
going. It's probably cooler than it sounds, but it's like, yay, I have a car on my side.
I just needed to keep going.
Yeah. All right.
That's all. I don't know.
That's fantastic.
Okay. So, is that all the good stuff?
That's most of the good stuff. I mean, I've covered the other stuff before. I mean, the cars actually handle pretty nicely.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, are the mechanics actually good?
They're reasonably good.
Yeah.
That's all the good stuff I have, though.
Okay.
It's all bad stuff after this.
So, the bad stuff portion of our show, it's sponsored by the University of Advancing Technology. Please visit uat.edu to learn more about the wonderful programs provided by UAT. All right, now on to the bad stuff.
Okay.
As sponsored by UAT.
Nice.
So
I like that. I thought that worked well. Kind of like brought to you by Taco Bell.
Okay. The same few problems that have been plaguing a lot of recent racing games, they have not figured this out. I don't know why in Grid. But first one is motion blur. I do not understand.
You've talked about motion blur before.
So they still do this in this game.
I hate motion blur.
In a racing game, okay, look, motion blur has its uses, but this is quickly becoming the lens flare of 2008 and 7 and beyond. When you're looking at a corner into the distance, right, when your eyes are focusing on something, do you expect it to blur for no reason? Just take a step. You're racing. You're looking at the corner. Is the corner going to start blurring?
Maybe if I'm moving at a fast speed.
You're not on drugs. And your eyes are focused on a corner, which is relative to your eyes not moving much.
Okay.
Not moving, okay? No blur. No blur in real life, but yet, really, if anything on the screen moves, then it blurs, which is ridiculous. It makes no sense. You will never ever find me making an argument.
I just tested motion blur. It didn't work.
Okay. You'll never find me making an argument from reality about why something should be done in games. So I'm not going to say, oh, it doesn't happen in real life, and so you shouldn't do it. I'm going to say, you can't see what you're looking at, which you need to see what you're looking at. The funny thing is in some of the races, like they have a Le Mans race, right? Le Mans.
Okay.
Say it right. Okay. the famous race, 24-hour race, okay? Yeah. In that race, they don't motion blur, probably because it was, I don't know, too computationally expensive for what they were doing in the graphics or whatever. But in other races, it does, and you can tell there's a difference.
Seriously?
Yeah.
They actually took out one of the screen effects, one of the visual effects.
Actually, I think one of the reasons why is, here's another cool thing I just forgot, right? In the Le Mans race, you have, it's a 24-hour race, right? But who has the time to race for 24 hours?
Yeah, I noticed it has a 24-hour race option, and I was just thinking...
Who has time?
See, I hope nobody ever does that.
See, Gran Turismo, they're like, yes, the player will have time for a 24-hour race, and they make you race for 24 hours. But in this...
They don't actually make you race for 24 hours.
No, it's a simulated 24 hours, which is cool, because, like, really, like, every hour is about, like, 2 seconds, okay?
That's a really short race.
Or minute, I mean.
I was like, that's a really fast race.
But they cycle through the day and night, which is really, really sweet, right? Because you're driving, like, oh, it's night. Oh, I'm driving at night. I'm getting really fatigued. And, oh, it's day again. And now it's, you know, now I can see finally.
All the textures change when it turns to night.
Yeah, no. You can just actually see, like, your headlights come on at night. And it's just this really, really cool kind of thing.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But.
So
you're saying it's good that this game has a 24-hour race.
Yes, no. And it's good that they simulate it, but this motion blur is just, I don't understand who likes this. When things are going past you at such a speed, I mean, what's the point of even modeling to any kind of, like, precision or any kind of quality? Because all you're seeing is streaks passing you.
In
what
regards
is
to motion
blur? Does it blur everything?
Everything that moves beyond a certain speed, which is slow enough to be annoying, is blurred.
And I don't know exactly how this game does the motion blur. If it's things like you need to see, you don't want that blurred. But some racing games...
Yeah, the whole effing screen, dude.
Some racing games have done it well where certain things are blurred that you don't need to see.
Yeah, I would...
Which gives the feel that you're moving faster.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Which is cool.
Right. You only do it very, very carefully, right?
But when, like, the objects you're about to run into are blurred...
Just like the lens flare of your...
Yeah, not good.
How many lens flares do you see screaming at you?
Well, if you
in
have
games
glasses,
today?
It might kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Anyway, here's another thing, right? Something I found really, really interesting was that I've read in some, like, press about the game that they're really, really pushing the car damage models. And in the PR for the game, they're all like, oh, this is the future. It's car damage. And I was like, what? Didn't they tell us this, like, 5 years ago? Why is this now the future? This makes no sense to me.
Okay,
so the car damage, the car gets damaged. Okay, fine, whatever, right? I don't really care that much about it. I don't think that's, like, that big a deal.
Well, people have been asking for car damage for years and years, and people have always...
Car damage
but just,
is awesome.
They've just said, no, we're not going
to
do it.
Well, that's Gran Turismo that they say no to. But
a
it's
lot
just,
of games, Gran Turismo is used as the standard. Gran Turismo, you know, didn't have...
No, but, I mean, a lot of games do implement it, and really, like... I mean, there's two components to it, right? There's a component where it actually impacts your driving, and there's a component that's visual, right?
Yep.
The visual, I mean, thing I don't care about because, actually, like, I would even rather not have it because, like, what? You drive around for 5 seconds, and then, okay, now it just looks like a destruction derby with beat-up cars driving around. Like, is that cool? No, not cool. And then...
If you're playing a destruction derby, it is.
Yeah, but it's not destruction derby.
Well,
and then
part of the mode, one of the modes is...
You try to distract. No.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah, obviously, right?
Which is really fun.
Okay, so the other component, right, which they actually implement very, very well, which is the actual effect on your driving, right? Because they're conservative about how to apply the effect of damage to your car, which is nice, because if they did it realistically, obviously, you would not hardly be able to drive after even the slightest touch. Which brings me to another issue, right? What I think is going to be the real future of racing games is getting the computer opponents to actually drive like race car drivers are supposed to drive. And I mean, by not hitting everything in sight.
Yeah.
Race car opponents often don't hit anything.
Often, yes, but not compared to the frequency that it actually happens in games, okay? Every once in a while there's a crash, sure. Every once in a while there's some jostling around. But the thing is that, especially with this type of game, it's so hard to modulate your speed around the other computer opponents, and they are, in general, so unaware of what you're doing that they can't effectively avoid you and vice versa. And so you get so many more crashes that happen. You have to You have to, like, hold the controller like you're holding, I don't know, like a piece of fine china in order to actually be able to drive and
you're,
not
you're
hit
complaining
punish.
That this game has a lot of crashing?
It has too much. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm complaining
but
about.
But so many games have no crashing because the computers know exactly how to dodge stuff and they miss everything.
No. But by crashing, I mean collisions.
Uh-huh.
I know what you're saying. I thought
crashing meant something else?
Yes. Perhaps we can find out what you're asking me about when we come back.
I think that's a good choice. We'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back again. I gotta hear more about this. This grid complaint of yours.
Okay.
Because, and let me explain. Earlier in the show, you were saying how it's great in this game. The cars, the enemies, or rather the other racers, whether they're enemy or team, they'll spin out. In so many games, they don't spin out. They don't make mistakes. And now you're complaining that there's so many crashes.
I understand that on face value, this sounds like I'm being just incredibly hypocritical.
A little contradictory.
And absolutely contradictory. So let me clarify this point. Basically, it's to weave around the cars is very, very hard. A lot of times the cars don't seem to acknowledge your presence or to understand that, for example, when you're in front of them and you brake, that they're going to hit you, right?
They don't stop.
Right. So it's really, to make it clear, it's really like the cars do not have enough attention or do not seem to have enough attention to what is happening around them. Now, I do have to say that they do a little bit, right? They do actually, a lot of times, for example, if I'm on a straight and there's a car coming up behind me, right, and they try to pass me, if I veer off to the right a little, like they'll back off, right? They'll say, oh, okay, he's veering, he's backing off, right? And I think that this is just a really, really hard problem to solve when there's a lot of cars on the track. So usually when there's only one or two cars, it's not that big of a deal. The main problem comes when there are lots of cars on the track. And at this point, well, let me put it to you this way, right? Every single game that I play in grid, when I'm actually able to, you know, navigate through and play the game and have a minimum of actual, you know, hits, like when I run a clean race, it's very, very satisfying. I love it, okay? When I actually play and there's a lot of chaos going on, it's just ridiculously frustrating.
So how is that unrealistic?
Because even if I win. No, I'm not talking about realism. I'm just talking about
But I imagine you would have a good time if you were really racing.
Right. Well, in really racing, right, I mean, most of the time, the racers have a very good apprehension of what is around them, and they react appropriately.
Perhaps this is because each one has a singular intelligence, right? Whereas,
well, yeah, because we're people, right?
In this game, you've got one machine controlling all of them.
Well, and it's one machine, and it's a machine, right? So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not expecting there to be like human level of intelligence here, right? But what I am.
I think the complaint could be made that perhaps even though it's playing on the PS3 or the Xbox 360,
right,
there's not enough power to give, or they haven't chosen to give enough power to the AI portion of the game.
Or it's really, really hard to design a computer opponent that actually drives in a way that is aware of everything and actually can react to stuff.
But, like, to use your experience in game development, you know, you were dealing with a racing game, and we both know the guy who wrote the AI for the Cars game and how he would always whine that they're not giving him enough processing power. They would say basically assign him, here you go, you've got 8% of the processing power for all AI to run the whole AI scheme or whatever you would call it.
There's always that limitation, right? So that's why I'm saying that I think that is the future, not this ridiculous, you know, car damage stuff of yesterday. Although I have to mention that one thing that is cool in this game that also I have not experienced much is that related to the car damage, it is really cool when debris flies off on the track and stays there, and you have to kind of like dodge around it. I mean, not very realistic, obviously, because in a real race,
does the debris have
yellow flag? And yeah, I mean, like, it's not gonna like screw you up, but I mean, like, you don't want to drive on
you
a tire.
You don't want to hit a tire
that's left on the track. I mean, it's not gonna like throw you up into the air or something
like the
crazy.
Front
but
bumper of a car. Yeah. You don't want to hit that.
But it's something you prefer to avoid.
Yeah, but a lot of games, if they did that, those things wouldn't actually have collision detection on them.
Right. No. They actually do that. And I do have to say that up until now, this is probably one of the best implementations that has been made yet in terms of the AI's ability to perceive what's around them. But I think that developing that further is what really is going to be the future of racing games.
AI. I think AI is just the future of most games, like good AI. Not like, oh, look at this fake good AI that seems good until you play that level twice and you realize it's really scripted.
No, not necessarily. I think it has certain applications and certain types of games.
No, I mean like first-person shooters, like, oh, squad-based AI, I mean, they're so smart and this and that, and then it's like, wow.
Right, but in a lot of games, you actually want to have a certain level of scriptedness and sometimes a very, very precise and exact level of scriptedness.
It depends.
That's what I'm saying. It depends. That's
like
my point.
With AI on your team, you don't want them to stand 2 feet from the tank that's shooting at you with the grenade launcher and not blow up the tank.
Well, I'm not going to have a conversation about like some kind of ethereal hypothetical game.
That's not hypothetical. That actually happens in Battlefield Bad Company.
Okay, well, I haven't played that game, so I can't.
And the AI is the worst I've ever seen ever. I just want to put that out there.
All right, well, we've got a few more things that we want to talk about. We've taken half the show to talk about Grid. Essentially, the takeaway from this rant is that you think the next step in racing games is AI rather than
I really,
motion blur?
I don't like saying that. I don't like that term. I'm going to prefer to say just developing the opponent behavior further.
Artificial life.
So now I need to read an email from one of our especially moronic listeners. And people need to understand.
Oh, yes.
I discuss the lowbrow nature of our listeners from time to time.
I haven't heard this, so this is going to be...
I'm confident that we have some intelligent listeners, perhaps even those who are in the Chatterbox Live chat room.
Perhaps they're introverted and do not enjoy communicating with us.
Unfortunately, yeah, the ones who actually do communicate with us. Did I mention on air, like, the older woman who emailed us who was all like, I love your show?
I don't think you mentioned that on air.
All right. Well, that was very interesting. Yeah. She seemed a very nice lady. Her son
this
is like a game developer
doesn't
or something.
Seem like they
very,
even
very
speak
nice.
English.
Very kind email. Thank you to you. And we'll continue to use big words that no one knows.
This guy, whose name is Paul Smith, according to his email, just mm-hmm. seems to represent...
Think that's a pseudonym.
Our, I don't know. He seems to represent our classic listener. And I would like to think that our listeners are not... I'd like to think that he doesn't represent them. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, since he's the one who emails us, he does technically represent them. So here, I'm going to read this email, and maybe you listeners can give me your feedback, what you think of him. And I certainly think this is dumb, but hey. The subject of the email is, Metal Gear Solid 4 didn't like I'm hearing. By the way, there's no punctuation anywhere. Makes it very difficult to
read. These are just a bunch of words.
I'll do my best to add the punctuation in my brain so you guys can sort of understand what he's trying to say. I haven't listened to the podcast... Let me start this over just so that sinks in. I haven't listened to the podcast, but the description, Metal Gear Solid 4 finally hit, and as expected, it's not as good as everyone thinks, which was the description of our podcast. I can't see what you or whoever on the staff could not think that it is good. As it was expected, it is a classic. I can't even figure out what he was trying to say. So I couldn't disagree with you more. The story, gameplay, music was incredible. Now, there were some things that I didn't like, but apparently you're saying that it is a horrible game.
Wait. Is this like a viral email by Hideo Kojima?
I don't know.
Story gameplay music is one thing. Those aren't separate things. That's one term.
No, they're a
together.
Comma. He used punctuation here.
He used commas
the
there?
The story gameplay music was, they was incredible.
I think we should make story gameplay music one thing.
Okay, that's the next category for our rating system. All right, now there were some things that I didn't like, but apparently you're saying that that it is a horrible game. That was a question, actually. Now, everybody has a right to their own opinion, but I will need to listen to it. But you're way off. Paul Smith, Houston, Texas.
Now, remember at the beginning of this show how I was talking about how your capacity for critically analyzing something impacts your impression of it overall?
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I rest my case.
But... this guy is basically saying, hey, it says you didn't like MGS4. I didn't listen to it yet. You're wrong. But you have an opinion, but it's wrong.
You should totally have an opinion, but you're wrong. And I haven't listened to it, but you're totally wrong. That's cool. I appreciate that you emailed us because it allowed me to fill 3 minutes of the show with what I thought was something that was very humorous.
Alan came to me with this email earlier this week, and he's like, Rich, you got to read this email. He's like, this is exactly what I'm talking about when I talk down to our listeners from time to time. He's like, we get emails like this.
I just can't always avoid it. And I'm sorry if I sometimes make our listeners feel like crap. I don't want to do that, because the ones who genuinely feel like crap are probably actually the good ones. And the ones who don't get it, they don't understand why I'm complaining, those are the ones who should feel like crap. So let me tell you, if you don't feel like crap right now,
you should.
Let's lift up the quality level of this show.
All right, when we come back from break, we'll take a caller. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Video games all the time, all day long. You love it. We love it.
No, just for an hour.
No, okay.
What?
It was a nice fantasy.
If you try listening to the radio station when we're not on, you won't hear much about video games. But
you could listen to other shows.
For the 44 minutes or so that we're on.
We do not recommend listening to other shows, by the way. At least I don't. I don't want to, speak
not,
for you guys.
Not
so
if
you
you're
don't
looking
want
for
some,
video game
some radio factor.
All right. So anyway, that wonderful email. I was so glad I got the chance to read that. I almost deleted it by accident. I think
did
I
you
still
get it
have
back?
The email. Well, it's there online, just not on the iPhone.
Why'd you press the trash button?
So there are some other things I wanted to talk about, but we do have Scott waiting on the phones. We'll get to him after, of course, I mention once again our grand sponsor, UAT, at the University of Advanced Technology, mm-hmm. and that you should go visit their website mm-hmm. at uat.edu. So let's take Scott. He wants to talk about emotion
stuff
in games. Is that perhaps what he wants to talk about? Scott, you're on the air.
No, I'm going to talk about something that's like first segment, but it's completely irrelevant now. I just got to pick up on a point you guys mentioned a little while ago, like just before the email, where you kind of try to make RSA that you think AI is what's going to be coming up in a game.
Hang on a second. You didn't send that email, did you, Scott?
Oh, no.
No?
I have punctuation.
Okay. Fantastic.
Prove it.
Okay. I just want to hear what you think of that email.
I was a dude who sent a big, long Jack Thompson email like months and months and months ago, or actually probably a year and a half ago.
Do I have a right to complain about that sort of message that we get? Do you think?
Sure.
Scott, I want your honest opinion.
You have the microphone.
No, right now you have the microphone, Scott.
Well, he has a phone.
But yeah, I was thinking probably what's going to end up happening is, AI is going to be part of it, but considering the art departments and all that stuff are getting so stretched thin, and the HD thing is kind of...
By stretched thin, you mean hiring more and more and more of them?
No, I'm saying like right now the development team is like 100 large in some companies. It's just insane, and we can't really go any larger than this, reasonably.
Well,
and
by having so many people, that would imply to me that they're not stretching any artists thin, that they have lots of them.
Maybe the budgets are being stretched, and the artists are being stretched.
That's what I kind of meant. I mean, like, you can't triple your art development team anymore.
Okay.
Well, you
get what he's saying.
Reasonably, right?
That's fine. I'm just in my ultra-critical mode.
I think what he's saying is they're having the same size studios, like 100 people, the same number of artists, but they're expected to create way higher level detail art for games.
And then they blur it so nobody can see the detail.
Yeah, apparently.
So I'm guessing that probably the next generation is not going to be adding more detail, considering high definition was kind of this buzzword. I'm assuming next time it's going to end up being either advanced lighting models, kind of taking less approximation off the general illumination, or AI or some other things that are more computationally intensive but doesn't actually require more detail.
Yeah, just ray trace every frame. Ray trace it.
Ray
60
trace.
60 frames a second.
No.
That would be cool.
I think the next generation is going to be more focused on features of a console rather than look how pretty it is. Because already this generation, that's become kind of like, yeah, PS3 and 360 are pretty much the same.
Well, here's the thing, right? A while ago, Jason Rubin made a talk at a conference.
Who?
Basically, Jason Rubin, about basically...
He used to be the president of Naughty Dog, right?
How...
Oh, okay.
That, am I making that up?
Yes. Right? No, true, true.
Okay.
I know
how technology, as, you know, as our technology gets more and more advanced, how it will kind of like retreat into the shadow of importance over time. And I think that that will absolutely be true. And I would really, really hope that they stop finding new technologies to waste processor power on so we can actually like start focusing on design again.
Well, the thing is, you can start focusing on design, but
you
it's limited to the small
you
studio.
You can, but everyone, yes, and it's there's just so much hype, right? It's like every I don't know. It's like somebody like finds like a box of treasure, and everyone's like, oh, look at this box of treasure, and I don't know, like what's in the box of treasure? It's lens flares. Oh, lens flares for everyone.
Yeah, actually, gotta agree with Ara there, Alon. It's like so far, I can only think of one company that sacrificed graphics. For gameplay, and that so far, and that's Grand Theft Auto 4. And the only reason why that is because they're the publisher, so they don't have to go and deal with the publisher. It's them, so.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. Namco, I think, understands that as well.
Well, I think the main reason why it happens the way it does is because, I mean, think about this medium, right? How do you find out about games? You look at screenshots and video before you play it,
mm-hmm.
right? And what is apparent?
Is that why the Wii's graphics suck? Because what we watch is video of people playing.
Playing. You watch videos of people.
We don't
playing
watch video
it.
Of the actual game.
You just watch videos of people saying, "I'm having the most fun of my life swinging this thing around in the air."
No, but really, like
and everybody wants it.
When companies, when the developers of games and the publishers are trying to communicate to the public and the people they sell to about what's good about a game, the main medium they have is a visual one, not an interactive one. Ironically enough, so what happens is. The focus is all on visuals, because once you sell it, you don't care.
It would be interesting if a game, let's say they wanted to advertise Portal, right, that they actually used the Flash game on the main site and said, here, look, this is an example of Portal.
Right.
Right, because wasn't it a Flash game first?
Well, I know it was a student project, no. Which was not a Flash
what
game.
What am I thinking
of?
It was
an Oracular Drop. Game. Yeah,
four, Portal. It was a mod of a different game, but there's a Flash game came after by a fan.
There's lots of games that started as
a Flash game.
That's certainly a great example,
yeah.
Right? They're like on their main site. What if they use that as the promo material? Or you just build something new that say, this is kind of like what this game is like.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you can play an example, I guess,
right.
Which is what demos are. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see it like right on the website, playable, don't have to download, don't have to put in a CD. You can just sort of get a feel for what the game is. But they'll never do that because then they'll say, oh, well, this doesn't really represent it. It doesn't have the good graphics that you want and love.
Right. Well, I think not until we can actually like sample stuff as readily as we sample, you know, screenshots, I think will design actually come to the forefront, unfortunately.
And that's probably never going to happen.
And also, we also have to consider the fact that a lot of the publishers are the ones with the bill. I know ARR keeps complaining about this week after week after week, but the ones with the money are the ones who generally are not quite video game savvy, probably. I mean, shareholders specifically. Most of them probably came from programming their VCRs.
Oh. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, well, there's that, and, you know,
who
once...
VCRs?
You know, those who are
exactly.
Most money-minded, I mean, basically they look at, they're like, I mean, they don't care. They, really, if you have a company, you don't care about how good the game is. You just care how good it sells.
Yeah.
And so you just look at, okay, well, does this sell? Okay, like A, B, and C sell, and X, Y, and Z, they don't sell. So let's do what A, B, and C does, and let's not do what X, Y, and Z does. And this is basically like the general mantra, right? The problem is that...
A lot of innovation, right?
They're using the retail laundry detergent model, where if you make something like something else, it'll sell well.
Yes.
You don't need anything new.
A lot of innovations coming off of the independent developers right now, the ones who are limited liability, who don't have to worry about shareholders. Like,
well, exactly. That's the thing that they miss, right? Is that if you don't make up stuff from time to time and just not look at what everyone else is doing, just say, hey, you know what? I think this is really cool, and I'm going to present it to the market and see if it's really cool. And, oh, look, it's Doom. Or, oh, it's Pokemon. You know? That stuff, I mean, if these crazy risks aren't taken, then that stuff just, we just end up with lots of bland games. What can I say?
Well,
like Blizzard, Valve, Miyamoto, and...
And then when it is taken, you end up with 5 new versions of it every year.
Well,
yeah.
Right, because it's like, okay, we want to make money. We don't want to, you know, advance the art, which is fine. It's a business. That's fine, right? But where does the balance lie is the question.
All right. Well, Where We Lie is at the end of the show tonight. So thank you very much for calling, Scott. I've mentioned in the past that I get these press releases all the time. We've only got like 1 minute left. I wanted to mention, you guys have seen the South Park show with the Guitar Hero, and right? It's all funny. Guitar Hero, yay, you guys are losers at the end of the show.
No.
Come on, Rich, you've never seen the Guitar Hero episode of South Park.
I haven't watched South Park in a couple
of
years.
Well, all of our listeners have, damn it. I get press releases all the time, and one of them is actually about this guy who scored 100% on this game, and they make a big deal out of it, and I don't really have time to read it now, so I guess I shouldn't have brought it up. But it's interesting to me that I'm actually getting these press releases that advertise this person doing so fantastically. Like, he's got people behind him. He's got publishers and this marketing group. Yay, he's a Guitar Hero champion! Like, what else is he going to do with his life now? Because he's in this. Where's he going to go? And is he ever going to put this on a resume? I'd love to hear from him. Maybe I should get a hold of him and have him do an interview. Dude, you're really good at Guitar Hero, huh? Yeah, man. Awesome, man. Yeah. You really have to go see that episode. Go find it on YouTube somewhere. All right. Gotta go, everybody. ComedyCentral.com. You can find him right on ComedyCentral.com. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.